Good morning. It's great to be worshiping together on this beautiful and much cooler Sunday morning. It's nice to have a break from that heat. And I want to welcome any new visitors to our service this morning, as well as the familiar faces, as many of us have wrapped up our summer vacations and we're back into routines again. If you're new today and have a young child, we have parent-supervised nursery available downstairs after the children's story, and a room just off the narthex here that's available for you if you need it. We're so excited that the new activities are starting up this week. If you check your bulletins, you'll see that there's a full slate of opportunities that are available for you to take part in. The children's and youth ministries, they start this week. Shannon Sveda, our new youth worker, is with us this morning and will be introduced later in the service. If you've not registered, there's a QR code that you can scan that'll take you right to the registration form. Sunday school started this morning at 9:30 for children, teens, and adults. New this year for the adults, we'll be meeting in the fellowship room every Sunday morning. So bring your morning beverage and join us for some great conversations as we dive deeper into the previous week's sermon through casual conversations. I was able to join this morning. There was a group of, six of us that had a nice chat and dove a little bit deeper into last week's message. And we've been promised that there won't be any tests and that there's no prerequisites for having been in church the week before. So I can attest to that. It was okay. And there's also announcements to check out for two different choirs starting up this week, as well as a call for any quilters from beginners to experts. So all are welcome. Next Sunday, we'll be having an installation service for Pastor Tim. And following the service, everyone is invited to stay for a potluck lunch. So we're just asking for people to bring sandwiches and desserts to share. And last but not least, our annual fall corn roast is coming up on Saturday, September the 23rd from 5 until 7. Mark it on your calendars. It's always a great night of free corn, delicious barbecue, and live music. So, and if anybody's wanting to help out, you can contact the Vandenberg family. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, and to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who's gathered here today. And we pray that you will be with those who are listening online or who were unable to join us in person. You are an incredible God who always loves us and never leaves us. Open our hearts and minds this morning and inspire us so that we will hear and learn from your word. Bless our time of worship this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. I invite the worship team to come forward as we sing together, How Great Are You, Lord, and What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Good morning. I invite you to stand as we sing the first two songs together.
How great are you, Lord? Thank you.
Good morning. Oh, it's nice to see you all here. We're all back into our Sunday school routines, right? And back into school. How was school this week?
Good.
We loved I didn't hear it from everybody, but I'm going to assume that it was good, but on the inside, right? That's awesome. It's fun to be back. It's fun to be back to learning, but did any of you find this week that you kind of, like, you forgot something? Like, oh, did we learn how to do that last year? I kind of forgot. Maybe forget anything? Yeah. Remembering is hard, right? Remembering is tough. So today we're going to, in our children's time, we're going to remember two things. And the first one is a super fun thing that we're going to remember. And you know what? Honestly, I think some of the grown-ups out here, this might be fun for them because they weren't a part of this. So this will be a nice chance for them to see it. How many of you were at Vacation Bible Camp this summer? Everybody! So awesome! That's great! So I'm going to ask our friends up there in AV if they can play the Vacation Bible Camp video for us. And every time you see yourself, raise your hand in the air. All right, here we go. All of you in the summertime, and I saw all of you in those pictures, and you know, I don't know if I know all the actions to all the songs anymore. I don't know if I remember exactly which Bible verse. You think you could do them all? We need to do it all over again. You're right. We'll do it next summer.
Like, take all those, like, videos, and then,
we just remind ourselves, right? We could do them all over again, all the videos. That is a great idea. And you know, that makes me think about the next thing that we want to remember. So when we want to remember stuff, we look at the videos again, right? We go back to the pictures. Maybe I go back and I read my leader guide and I see what we did and then I remember it all. Well, you know what? Today is such an exciting day for three of our friends because they're going to be getting something that's going to help them remember too. So I'm going to show you. This is my Bible, one of many, but this is the one that I got from my parents a long, 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 long time ago. And this Bible has so, so many stories in it and poems and songs and things that were written down so that people could remember.
so that people could remember the stories of the past, remember the things that Jesus taught us, remember how much God loves us, remember all the good things, the good ways that we can live our lives. And today, we have three people who've made their way into grade 4, and they're going to be getting a Bible from our church today. They're going to be getting a Bible to help them remember those things too. So I'm going to call these awesome people forward. I'm going to take a little picture of them, and then we're going to pray together with them, okay? So let's start with, and they got to pick their own color. Okay, we have Emily. Come on up, Emily. Okay, and we have Callan. And we have Clara. Come on over. Okay, so I'm going to get my quick picture that I'm going to share with all of our parents so that they have it too. Can you snuggle in together a little bit? Move over one step there. Awesome. And a smile if you've got one. There we are. Awesome. Okay, see right there? And everybody's going, or you can sit down, that's fine. Let's all bow our heads and pray together. God, we just ask that you bless everybody and help us all to remember your stories. And in a special way today, we want to bless Emily and Callan and Clara as they start reading the Word of God or continuing to read the Word of God. And we appreciate all the things that you've given us to be able to look at and to remember how you want us to live our lives. Amen.
Dangerous. Let's keep you over on this side. We're going to introduce our friend and our youth worker. Is that what we're calling you? What was the exact title? Whatever. Shannon, could you come up? So this is my friend Shannon. I did know a number of the candidates. So just so you know ahead of time, Shannon and I have known each other for a long time.
Longer than either of us are going to admit to.
Yeah, very, very long. From high school. And Shannon and I share a special interest, and that is on the day August 26th is both of our birthdays. So we even share birthday parties sometime. So, Shannon, do you want to... I didn't prepare you at all for this.
No, you did not.
Is there anything you want to say on the...
Hi.
Hi. Shannon has a background working with kids, and we are so happy to have her here serving the kids and pastoring them in this way. I'm just going to pray quick over Shannon, and then we will continue with it.
Do you want me to hold while you pray?
Do you want to be held while we pray? What do you think?
You can see me for a minute.
Oh! All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Thank you for all of these kids that we have here. And thank you for Shannon. We pray that you would bless her and continue to work through her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I got to get you down now. Is it pastoral prayer? Do you want to go back to mommy? I don't have a bulletin on me. Is it the pastoral prayer now? Prayer time? That's me. That's great. Ah, there we are. So we are trying something new and something old. We've had sharing times in this church in the past, but what we're asking now for is we're going to do a sharing time where you can share prayer requests, where you can share kind of brief joys. And this is a way, instead of some people having to find the pastor ahead of the service to make sure something gets prayed for, but where we get to recognize that we are a community who prays for each other. And so we will share this together. So if anyone has something they would like to share, we have ushers at the back. Would we be able to pass the microphone as needed? We were all totally prepared for this. So if you have anything you would like to share, just raise your hand and we will listen and we will pray for you. And if you are uncomfortable sharing in front of a larger group of people, we do have the contact information in the bulletin. Please send it by email and let us know if you want that added to something to be prayed for in the bulletin or if you would just like me or some of our leaders to pray for you. It's hard being the first one. But you have the microphone. Is there anything you want to... Well, now that you mention it. Oh, we have a...
Thank you. I'd just like everyone to pray for Helga and Hans Runge. The situation is getting pretty difficult, and Helga has a lot to deal with. So let's keep them in prayers.
All right, thank you. I have been visiting with Peggy White. She is always in good spirits, but she is getting weaker. I'm uncertain if anyone knows if she's been moved, because she's moved every single time that I've been there. They slowly move her room to room, poor Peggy, but she's hoping to get out of the hospital or somewhere a little bit more comfortable, but she is getting weaker and appreciates all of your prayer. All right, well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are near. We thank you that you are a God who hears, that you are a God who listens, that you are a God who understands and knows even those whispers and pains and groans in our hearts, those things that we can't even speak out loud. Lord, have mercy. We pray, Lord, that your healing touch would be on our world, that your healing touch would be on us in such a way that we would be able to be the answers to prayer for our neighbors. In all things, Lord, we pray that your fruit would be in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, through your Spirit, work on us as a people so that our community and our neighbors would be blessed by your love. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we are still taking our offerings at the back. Yes, at the back there, recognizing that everything we have belongs to God, and we give then joyfully so that we can see the kingdom come through our lives by our prayers and by our financial giving. So thank you for that.
I don't think Marianne's here, but if you'll take a Marianne, I will do this for you. How's that? All right. I'm going to be reading from Nehemiah 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, one of my brothers, Hanani, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them about the Jews that survived, those who had escaped captivity, and about Jerusalem. They replied, "The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my family have sinned. We have offended you deeply, failing to keep the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are under the farthest skies, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place at which I have chosen to establish my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. At the time, I was cupbearer to the king.
I don't know who made that sound, but it was not me. Is it not plugged in quite right up here? Oh, we did try this ahead of time. Oh, there we are. Yes, turn up my radio voice. Good morning. I'm not sure. It's probably... Can I just switch to the pulpit mic? Is that okay? Well, now that we know that you're paying attention. Well, good morning. We are going to look at the book of Nehemiah as a church together. We're going to go through that whole book piece by piece. And I'll just say to start, Nehemiah is probably best pronounced Nehemiah. But I do not speak Hebrew, so I'll just be saying the more English Nehemiah, because that's what I grew up with. We're enjoying this time that feels to me a bit like a new year. Always when kids go back to school, now some of that is because I continued going to school for many years. Some of that is because I was a teacher for many years. But it always feels to me like the year starts kind of now, something fresh, where you go back and you get to learn new things. So in the same way, we're going to go back to school together here. We're going to go back to a bit of the Bible school because to understand Nehemiah means understanding the story through the Bible that gets us to here. Oh, there we are. The first thing to note is that the book of Ezra, which comes right before Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah are actually one book. We've separated it later, but it was written as one scroll, one thing together. So these stories all are very much tied together. Well, there we are. So now we'll do a little bit of a biblical history. I am trying a new clicker today, so we'll see if this gets returned or kept. Okay. So way, way back in Genesis, right from the beginning, we see God work in creation. We see things go poorly, and then we see God working through Abraham and through the descendants of Abraham, these chosen people. They end up in slavery in Egypt. They're delivered out of slavery. And they're given the law. That would be the first five books of the Bible, also those Ten Commandments. They're given this new way of being, to be a different type of people, to be a different type of people who have a different land, a promised land, in a place where they will be a light to other nations. They're supposed to be the ones shining brightly, showing the way back to God. Showing the way so that this dream in the future that everyone will come and worship before God. However, we see these promised people, these delivered people, over and over end up being unfaithful. They turn to other gods, to other ways, to other worldly things. And God describes this, and the prophets will describe this very much as an extramarital affair. We have been, as the people of God, we have been unfaithful to our true husband. We've gone around. And so the consequences for that, as is promised and warned of through Jeremiah and others, is that there's going to be a time where the people are taken away from the promised land. And this happens through the Babylonian Empire. They conquer, they level the great city of Jerusalem, they level the temple, everything's burned to the ground, and people are taken into exile to be in Babylon. But even during that time, there's this hope. They keep pointing to a hope where where God will continue to remain faithful, where we will turn back as a people and be faithful, and we'll see a new temple with God's presence in it. We'll see this time where we'll have a new leader, this messianic king, that God's kingdom come will be over all the nations. That the promise to Abraham, the promise to our forefathers will be fulfilled, and everyone's going to come and be able to enjoy that at some point. Then we have an interesting historical twist. After Babylon, we have the Persian Empire almost overnight kind of just go and take over all that was Babylon's. And the Persian Empire that we're experiencing during the time of Ezra, the Nehemiah, and such will be the same one where we end up with words like Marathon. Marathon is a great battle that the Persians will lose. We'll have things like the movie and the story of the 300, things like that. These are all happening at contemporary times. The first person we see now as a representative or as a leader in the book of Ezra is Zerubbabel, which is a name that means born in Babylon. So he is someone who has been in exile his entire life, and he goes and he tries all of these reforms, and we see a bit of a rhythm going on in these stories. And the first thing I will let you know, when people look at Nehemiah as a story, it's sometimes preached on at churches as a way of, we're going to go and build something great. Let's build back together. Let's do something together, and it's going to be successful, just like Nehemiah. And what that suggests to me is that they didn't finish reading Nehemiah. Because things go well, things come together, and then everything falls apart. In fact, in Ezra and Nehemiah, this happens three different times. First, with Zerubbabel, they'll kind of gather people together, they'll rebuild the temple, and then at the end, there's this weird moment where all the people who weren't carried into exile, so kind of think of the poorer folks living outside the city who weren't deemed worthy enough to be carried off by Babylon, they kind of come around like, hey, how can we help? And Zerubbabel will be like, get out of here. You guys are worthless. Well, that's weird. Except we see that happen again in Ezra. Ezra gathering people together to rebuild the temple. At the heed of the Babylonian king, God working through this king, this Persian king. But then at the end, the same sort of thing happens. People come, hey, how can we help? Get out of here. We don't need people like you. Well, that's weird, right? And Ezra starts doing things that doesn't really seem like they're good things to do. And this is where the Bible gets complicated. Just because you're a character in the Bible doesn't mean that you're always doing the things that God would have you do. Most of the characters in the Bible are extremely flawed. God remains good and working through God's justice, God's new hope, but through very flawed people, often causing our own problems. So everything through this book, this three kind of times happening, it begins with this great hope, but it ends with great disappointment. It ends in failure. So even as we look to Nehemiah, I think there's much that we can learn from this book. But know that there's things we can learn of what to do, but also that there needs to be more than just doing the right things. That it becomes a heart issue as well. We don't just need new things happening for the sake of new things happening. We need new hearts shaped in the way of God's love. So Nehemiah, what's interesting to me in it is that we can actually get pretty close to the years that these events happen. So in BC or BCE 445, we experience this story in Nehemiah. And we'll talk a bit about who Nehemiah is as the story goes on. But let's look at that chapter again, and I do have some images to help draw us through to get a picture of what's going on. And I love how Nehemiah introduces himself through here. At first, I can't quite read what's behind me there. We have the words of Nehemiah. So we know that this is something that's being written by Nehemiah here. He's the one saying, I'm the one writing some of this. In the month of Cheslev, in the 20th year, while we are in Susa. So Susa is a place that still exists. It is the place where Babylonian, and then we'll also see the Persian Empire, will go for their winters. It's like the winter palace. And that's what's happening. This is November, December on our calendar. There we are. So one of my brothers comes back with news. There we are. So he asked about the people who survived, the people who are left, the people who escaped captivity, and about the city of Jerusalem. But the people who went and looked at what was going on will say that the survivors there who escaped captivity are in great trouble. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Walls were your way of remaining a city. Without a wall, it's hard to be anything. And the gates have all been destroyed by fire. And Nehemiah says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. See, what Nehemiah is experiencing is he knows that there's been these other movements of trying to rebuild Jerusalem. That there have been temples rebuilt, that there's been trying to rebuild the walls, make the city again, to be the people of God again in the land. But things have not gone well. In fact, the king at that time will have allowed for, or would have written for, having everything destroyed again. All those walls, when they were trying to build them up, let's go destroy them. We don't want them having any walls there because then they might rebel against us. So no more walls. And so Nehemiah is getting this news for the first time. And it's heartbreaking. He longs for a home he's never known. He longs for a hope to be fulfilled. So what do you do when nothing but bad news comes? That's what Nehemiah asks. Well, what's next? And Nehemiah's faithful actions come out in prayer. He first turns to pray. He fasts. That's where you take time from eating. And he prays before the God of heaven. And there's this great prayer. I'm not going to read it through in entirety. It is on the screen. But this recognition of who God is. There's a humility here. It's actually very much a prayer directly quoting parts of the Bible. This is almost directly lifted out of Deuteronomy. And he confesses sins here of the people. Look, God, we've messed up. You are great. We've messed up. And not just we, but me. I'm a part of the problem. We haven't been following what we're supposed to do. But God, we remember your promises. We remember that you said, if we're unfaithful, you'll scatter us. And you did. But you also said, if you return to me and keep my commands, that you'll gather us back up. Lord, these people are your servants. We are your people. Remember, you've already redeemed us through your great power, your strong hand. Don't abandon us now. Be attentive to my prayer, the prayer of your servants who delight in your name. And then is this interesting line, give success to your servant today. And give him the mercy of this man. It doesn't even say who the man is, though we will know that this is later introduced to us as Artaxerxes the First. And at that time, I was cupbearer to the king. Cupbearer was an important position. That's actually one of the higher ups there. He had a signet ring. All of the laws that went through the land were going through Nehemiah as well. This basically means he has the king's ear. So he's risen in the ranks and done very well for himself. And we see this prayer that leads Nehemiah. We see this prayer as the beginning point for what needs to happen. That what starts out as despair quickly turns to hope because Nehemiah trusts that God can do something. His heart becomes filled in this time of mourning and prayer to the place where he starts to see that he himself is part of the answer. That he himself should act and do something. There we are. Well, the trouble that we have, I think, is similar to the struggles Nehemiah is having. All those days of mourning and fasting, all of this brokenheartedness. What do we do with that? What do we do when everything goes wrong? What do we do with the bad news? What's next for us? And it's easy to give a quick Nehemiah answer or a quick Christian-y answer, churchy answer. Well, you should pray about it. Well, let's pray. But why? Why pray? What is the point of prayer? Doesn't God already know what's happening? Does God need us to tell God what we need and what's going on? And while we pray, is there a certain number of prayers we have to get to, a certain amount of tokens we have to put into a machine and then pull the slot so that God will give us the answer at the end? How many prayers does it take to get an answer? And it can start to feel like maybe no one's listening. I've been praying this over and over. I'm not hearing anything. God, are you there? Where is my answer? Why am I asking so many times for nothing in return? And know that when Nehemiah gets all of this bad news, that he has been someone who has been praying and hoping for things to go well in Jerusalem. He has been prayerful and excited that I'm going to get this news of Jerusalem. I hope that all my people back home, all those people are doing well. God, where were you? Why have you allowed this to happen? And there are three things I want us to just take away about what prayer is as a starting point. The first is that God listens to our prayers. This is what Nehemiah will experience as well. God doesn't just hear your prayer. God listens. And that God answers prayer. But maybe not in the way we'd prefer. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is that my grace is sufficient in your difficulty. My grace is sufficient even in the midst of that. And that's hard to hear. But ours is a God who answers. And ours is a God who works through our prayers. So what does that mean for us? So when we go back to that question, which obviously Nehemiah believes in prayer, that's why he's praying. But why should we pray? Did God need Nehemiah's prayer to act? Nope. God did not need Nehemiah. God did not need Nehemiah to have those prayers. God can do anything. But why do we pray then? That ends up being the wrong question. As often ends up, we're asking the wrong question. It's not why pray, it's what is prayer? Maybe what's the point of prayer? Because prayer is participation. Prayer is the starting point that changes us and helps us to participate in what God is doing all around us. So, yes, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is this communication with God. And in that relationship, prayer changes us. We start to see our hearts change. Prayer is our acknowledgement of God and our need for Him. And in this acknowledgement, we are changed and start to become more like God. So why pray? Because prayer changes us. Because prayer helps to align our hearts and dreams with God's heart, with God's hope and God's plans. Prayer changes Nehemiah. Note that Nehemiah doesn't start the chapter letting us know that he's in a high position. He's praying and he's starting to realize, I'm in a position to change things. So God, I'm nervous to do what I have to do, as you should be. But be with me. Give me that strength. Because prayer is participation with God. Whenever God does something in the Bible, you can be sure that God is always looking to partner with God's creation, God's people, to work together. That is what brings God joy. That's just how God works. With us, through us, in us, sometimes in spite of us. Prayer is this participation. When we look to Jesus, we see a life on earth filled with prayer. Jesus took the time to pray. My general rule of thumb is always, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's probably good enough for us. If Jesus is doing that to align his heart with God the Father, a heart that's already aligned, then he's showing us that that benefits us as well. Prayer is what Jesus' church will do. Prayer is that thing that we already prayed this morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This idea that through our lives and by our prayers, we will see this happen. So does God need the church's prayers to act? Does God need your prayers to fix the world? Nope. Of course not. But God works through people. God works through us and partners with us. So does God need it? No. Does God want it and work through it? Yes. It is through prayer, more than anything else, that God will bring renewal in Nehemiah, and God will bring renewal and new hope for us here in St. Catharines. Yes, we should plan. Yes, we should be careful. Yes, we should be wise in the choices we make. But doing the right things will not bring success. Success comes in faithfulness, and faithfulness comes through lives shaped by prayer. There's this image we see all through Ezra Nehemiah. All of these attempts at trying to make Jerusalem better, to build it better, to make Jerusalem great again, to make Israel great again. But the problem was that we were only looking to the exterior, to rebuilding the physical structures around. And it's good to rebuild the physical things, but that has to be paired with rebuilding our hearts, with having our hearts shaped and renewed into the way of Jesus. Having hearts, as Nehemiah's heart is changed, that burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit to see the love of God move all around us. So for Nehemiah, the success of the story all starts with prayer. Prayer changes Nehemiah. And in the same way, prayer can change us. If you want to see renewal in this church, in the church all through the world, it's going to start always with prayer. And from there, it will change in our hearts, in how we love other people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are near. We thank you that you are listening. Lord, we pray for renewal in our hearts today. Lord, take our hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh, with hearts that burn with love for you, that burn with Holy Spirit fire, to go out and be your people, loving each person we meet. May your love so overflow from us that every person we meet is changed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Friends, please stand as you're able and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up your spirits and your heart. May the Lord lift you up on higher ground as you trust in Him. Go in God's peace. Amen.